Good morning. Welcome to Hunt Springs Baptist Church and the Coolwater Cowboy Church if you're listening online today. And welcome everybody out in the parking lot. And I know Miss Diana and Bobby and Servamore that live close are listening at home. So yeah, good morning. We welcome everybody here. We want to welcome Sergio and Dana and their family here with us today. They back to sing, and a lot of y'all know them as Sterling Music. So please keep them lifted up in your prayers. We thank you for everyone in here and for coming today. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture, and then we'll jump into the service. This morning we will not be taking up the offering during the service, but at the end of the service, if you're in the parking lot, you can drive through the breezeway here so you won't get wet in the rain, and Jose will be out there with a bucket, and you can just drop your offering in there. If you're in here, you can drop it in the white bucket back there at the back. We thank you for being here today, and I know that in these troubled times, we're all looking for peace, praying for peace, hoping for peace. I just want to read you a promise that God gives us in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6 and following, about how one day we'll all be at peace with one another. And it says, the wolf will dwell with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze. The young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like an ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Kind Father, we come before you this morning as we open this service. We come before you dependent upon our Lord, our God, our Creator, our Redeemer. Lord, we come and ask that you would just fill the earth with your knowledge. Lord, I know that there's a lot of folks that just reject knowledge of you, your will for their lives. But this morning, I just pray as we gather together in the name of Jesus here in the parking lot, on air and inside here, that, Lord, you would fill us with knowledge. Even as the waters cover the sea, that when we leave here today, we'll have a fresh vision of Jesus exalted, lifted up. That we'll leave here, take that vision, tell it to someone, Lord, that you, our Father and God, might be glorified. Now, Lord, as Sergio and Dana comes to bring us music, Lord, I pray that this music would give us a fresh vision of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. You know, before we get started this morning, I was thinking about how this broadcast has to be, your radio has to dial in to those that are listening into a certain frequency. Otherwise, you can't hear what's happening this morning. And in the same way, right now in this room, there's Elvis Presley, probably talk radio, sports, all these things that are in the air that you can't hear unless you tune in to that frequency, just like what you're hearing this morning. And as Pastor said, these are troubling times, but we know this, that God is still on the throne. He is. And so I believe in this hour, we just have to be, just like you've tuned into this frequency, somehow we need Holy Spirit's help to tune in to what God is saying for us in this time so that we can be effective for Him, for our families, for His kingdom, and His church. Everybody who's listening said, amen.
Some glad morning when this life is over, fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. Shadows from these prison walls I've flown.
Great.
when I think I'm going under. Part the waters, Lord. When I feel the waves around me, calm the sea. When I cry for help, oh, hear me, Lord, and hold out your hand. Touch my life, calm the raging storm in me. Touch my life, calm the raging storm in me. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can pierce a heart. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless. When I think I'm going under, part the waters, Lord. Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Thank you. then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven, He rose again. Oh, trample death, where is your sting? The angels roar, for Christ is King. In robes of white, the blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Jesus Christ, our King.
death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. The praise.
Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, you are holy, holy, are you Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, you are holy.
Thank you, Lord. You're such an amazing God. That while we were far from you, not even looking for you, you came looking for us. And the only reason, the only way we can stand before the Father, blameless, without fault, without spot, without wrinkle, is because your blood, Jesus. That's the only reason that we can stand before God the Father and be accepted as a son and as a daughter of the living God. Thank you, Jesus. This morning we ask that you would give Holy Spirit, Pastor Wesley, just the wisdom to be able to speak your heart, Father, and for us that we would be able to receive, no different than I spoke earlier about tuning into a radio station. You cannot possibly pull from the air what is unseen unless you have the right equipment. And Jesus, you said when you left this earth that you weren't going to leave us as orphans or without help, but that you would send a helper, the Holy Spirit, to help us. And we need your help, Holy Spirit. We need your help in these times that are dark, these times that have never been unprecedented. We need your help so that we can know what it is, the marching orders that heaven has for each one of us. And we ask all this in the name above all names, the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Dana. Thank you, Sergio. Appreciate y'all being here. We do a lot of, and Jay, hey, brother, good to see you. We do ministry together with Sterling, and they're not here that often, and they're not at Coolwater Cowboy Church that often, but that's no fault of mine or theirs. Scheduling conflicts between Corona and life seems to always make us have to reschedule. Amen? But we're looking forward for them to be back here with us some this year, and also at Coolwater. But Sergio and I pray a lot together by text. And I do want y'all to know that the whole time Mona and I was sick, he checked on us every day, and they lifted up prayers for us. And that ought to be an example for all of us to do. That, you know, even though we can't go see someone and we think we're social distancing and we're separated, there's no reason you can't call, text, send a card, or do something to let somebody know you're praying for them. And that's what we need to do. If you will, this morning, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1. We're going to continue where we've been in the book of John. I come back there just to... was really going to preach one message, and I've already preached two out of here, and we're going to preach another one this morning because I think it's important for us to understand about God's messenger and God's message. If you are there, say amen. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 19. It's the testimony of John. It says, "This is the testimony of John." Let us pray. Kind Father, I pray this morning as we just slow down from the busyness of life, from the craziness of chaos, from all that's going on, that, Lord, we would just pause this morning. And as we look at the witness that you sent to prepare the way for Christ, as we look at this testimony of John, that, Lord, we'd realize that we have a testimony and you have purposed in our hearts that we should testify. And Lord, we do always give credit to someone. The question this morning is, do we give credit to God? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I loved when Dana was singing that God has no rival or no equal. And you know, Philippians chapter 2 teaches us that very clearly. And as we look this morning at John, chapter 1, verses 19 through 38, it's talking about John's testimony. It's talking about the messenger that God sent. It says in verse 6 of chapter 1 that there came a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, this is John the Baptist. This is not John the Apostle. The Apostle John has written this gospel, but here in the first few chapters, he's talking about John the Baptist, which you've probably heard was the last Old Testament prophet. Now, John has gone out across Jordan to Bethany. Now, this is not Bethany just east of Jerusalem. We don't really know where this Bethany is, but we do know it's on the east side of the Jordan River, or on the side of the Jordan River where the sun comes up, is the way they would describe it. And John is out there at the Jordan River. He is baptizing, and people are flocking out there. The Jews are coming out there. The Gentiles is coming out there. It's mostly the Jews, because John, like all prophets, is preaching a message of repentance. And we'll talk a little more about his baptism in a moment, but so many people are going out there that it says here the Jews sent to him, to John, priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him a question. Now, we all have questions, and if you study much of world history, of history ideas, you'll understand that all philosophers and all people have always wanted to know kind of the answer to the same questions. You know, where did I come from? Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? Don't y'all all want to know that? Now, when I say that John was a prophet sent from God, that's the first thing you need to know. Because when the Apostle John starts this, he says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if you open up to Genesis, in the first chapter of the Bible, it says, in the beginning God, right? So, no matter what they teach you in public school, you come from God. Without God, you wouldn't be here, and without God, nothing else would be here. So till you get that straight, like we were singing, worthy are you the Lamb, or worthy are you God Almighty, to receive all glory, honor, and power, over and over in heaven, they're singing of God's glory. Romans tells us that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sometimes we cannot witness to people until they understand what the glory of God is. Till they understand that God created all things. Nothing exists outside of what God has created. And until they understand that, they don't understand that God created us for a purpose. And when we don't live out our lives according to God's will and plan for us, that's got a word that is called sin. Amen? I ain't got many people in here this morning, so y'all don't look too excited. But I hope y'all excited in the parking lot. Blow your horn. Amen. All right. But this morning, what I want you to see is something we need to do as Christians, and it's very important, because more and more as we watch TV, as we're on social media, I've got friends that call me because they'll find a new news station that agrees with their politics. I mean, you know, and so we see narratives rewritten over and over, and what we do, we have to be real careful, even as Christians, because Paul says that it's easy sometimes to gather teachers to ourselves that tickle our ears or tell us what we want to hear. So we have to be real careful what we accept as the answers to all our problems. Amen? Because if you listen to the news, to Facebook, I don't care what media or what medium you're listening to, here lately I've just been paying attention when they say that here's the problem, so-and-so did wrong. Here's the problem. So-and-so's going to help you. Here's the problem. This is going to happen. If only you do this, this person will help you. I have yet to hear anybody just when you turn on the TV in the morning said, guess what? If y'all would just do what God says, he would help you and everything would be all right. God can't help us if we ain't doing what he wants us to do. Amen? God can't bless us when we're sinning. And this is what John the Baptist was preaching. You need to repent. Now, his testimony is a lot like our testimony. We need to be able to do three things. I have taught evangelism classes. I've tried to get people to write things down in the Sunday school class. There's always a reason someone cannot give their testimony. They think they don't know enough. They're afraid they're going to say the wrong thing. It's always a reason. Now, they are legitimate, but I want to help you this morning. Everybody's here and in the parking lot listening online, or if you're home on the radio. Here's what you need to do next week. You need to tell somebody who you are, tell somebody who Jesus is, and tell them what happened when y'all two met. It's that simple. I can tell you who I was. I was a sinner lost, unhappy, and couldn't figure out how to fix it. I met Jesus Christ on I-70 heading west in Colorado one morning at 11:15, and he changed my life. That's your testimony. When they asked you how to change your life, just tell them. Before Jesus and after Jesus. Jesus is in the life-changing business. And this is what John the Baptist says. John comes, and And he is doing a mighty work of God. And so the Pharisees, which are, it tells us over here in verse 24, they are the Pharisees. It says the Jews here, but he's talking about the religious leaders. Now, by this time in Judaism, they have already had the religious leaders take over. They got a group of people that's really got more power than the priest. And so they are just wanting to know what's going on. They losing power, right? Nobody likes to lose power. They losing power. They like, look, hey, if everybody's going out there to John, we don't even know why they're going out there. And if they're going all the way out there, they're not in town. They're not doing the things they want to. We need to send somebody out there to find out what's going on. So they sent the A team and the B team. They sent the preacher and they sent the praise team. It says here they sent the priest and the Levites. Now, all the priests, as you know, come from the tribe of Levi. They were Levites. When it says priests, these are the ones that went into the holy place, the most holy place, and these are the ones that did the sacrifices and worked through a schedule on what they done. And when it says that the Levites was with them, this is like the B team. Now, they wasn't any less than the priest, but they did other types of service. They helped do service for the priest so the priest could do the service that God had set them aside. Why? Because need to understand a little Old Testament, understand what John's talking about here. The priest had to sanctify themselves before they could bring the sacrifices and the sin offerings to God, because if they wasn't consecrated or sanctified when they come before God, then they would die. They had sinned, so they had to make atonement for their sin before they could make atonement for the people's sin. Now this is what the priests are. Okay, now the priests go out. They go out to John. Here's the question they want to know: who are you? So they come out there and they asked him six questions. Five, if you count the way they kind of asked him the same question twice, because why? He won't give them the answer they wanted. So they go out and they like, why is everybody coming out there? Who are you? Now, I learned real quick. Took me a while, but after I got saved, I was looking back over my life. Y'all ever done that? Thinking about this, because Paul said, when we're saved, we're in Christ. So I was thinking, you know, well, somebody asked you, who do you usually say you are? Now, this is years ago. I hadn't always been as dull in thinking as I am now. I used to could think, amen? And I was thinking, well, when I was young, I was Buddy Thomas' son. Everybody knew that I could ride horses. When I got a little older, everybody knew I was Buddy Thomas' son. I was a carpenter. But when I moved to Tennessee, nobody knew me. So when somebody would introduce me out there, this is Wesley Thomas. He's in the furniture business. So it was always about my occupation and what I could do. How about you? When a friend introduces you to somebody that doesn't know you, do you tell them, oh, I'm the preacher at Hunt Springs Baptist Church? I'm with Sterling. I do music. I'm into custom woodcraft. I'm a craftsman. Or do you say I'm a Christian? When was the last time somebody asked you what you did or who you were and you said, I'm a Christian and God's left me on this earth just to tell you about Jesus? That would change a family, a community, a city, a state, and a country if we'd just do that. They said, who are you? Now, you got to remember, John the Baptist was indwelt with the Holy Spirit from the beginning, right? He was born, God had a purpose for him, God kept his hand on him. That didn't mean that he didn't sin, but God kept him directed with the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to. So they said, John, who are you? He says, oh, let me tell you who I'm not. You looking for a Savior? You looking for somebody to help you? That ain't me. I'm not the Christ. I'm not the King. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the anointed one of God y'all are waiting on. I am not the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I'm not the King you're waiting for. And look, their second question. they asked him, well, what then? Are you Elijah? Because see, it says in verse 20 that John confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. The apostle John uses this word confessed here twice to show that John was humble. He knew something. Guess what? I'm not the one that I need to be talking about. I need to be talking about Jesus. And they said, what then? Are you Elijah? Now, why would they say that? Well, Matthew tells us and Luke that John the Baptist did what? He wore animal hair clothing, had a belt around his waist. He eat wild honey. He looked a lot like Elijah. He looked a lot like an Old Testament prophet. So they showed up and they was looking at him and they like, who do you think you are? Elijah? I mean, you're out here in the wilderness preaching and people are showing up. Look what John the Baptist says here. He even shortens his answer. He just says, I am not. Y'all need to know who I'm not. And they said, are you a prophet? So Malachi 4:5 tells all the religious leaders and all the Jews that God is sending forth a Messiah, anointing one. And they said, before he gets here, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, says that a spirit of one like Elijah will come preaching. So they say, are you Elijah? He had said, I am not. And then they say, so you the prophet? Now, a lot of translations takes that the out, but it's in the language there. The prophet. He's talking about the one that's going to come. That goes all the way back to Exodus chapter 18, verses 15 and verse 18. Moses tells the people, y'all going into the promised land, but guess what? Y'all going to mess up. Y'all not always going to follow God. But I'm not going to be here anymore to tell you. But one day God's going to raise up from your brothers the prophet that will speak and you'll listen to him. So they say, so John, if you're not the Christ, if you're not Elijah, are you the prophet? John's like, I done told him twice. John says, no. See how answers get shorter and shorter. No, I am not the Christ. No, I am not. And then he just says, no. Now look at the fourth question they asked him. Then they said to him, well, who are you? So that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself? If you look back here, it says that they sent them from Jerusalem to ask John in verse 19, who are you? They sent these people with a person, with a purpose. You need to go find out. Now, they're asking John, they're having this conversation, and John's just not cooperating. Who are you? I'm not who you think I am. And so they said, look, so that we can go back, we got to go back and give an answer. In verse 22, we need to know, who are you? What do you have to say about yourself? Verse 23, John says, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet had said. Now this comes from Isaiah 40, verse 3. In Isaiah 40, verse 3, in the context, God's people, Israel, had sinned. Now you got to think about this. God chose Abraham and told Abraham, from you, all your descendants will be a nation. From your descendants, there will be a blessing to all the families of the earth. God chose to make Israel his people. They hadn't done anything yet. Y'all get that? Just like us. When me and James got saved, me and James had done absolutely nothing to be spared the flames of hell. That was God's grace. Now, God's people, Israel, after God blessed them, made them a nation, saved them, brought them into a land flowing with milk and honey, had houses they didn't build, cities they didn't build, had food to eat that they didn't plant. They had everything. But guess what? They sinned against God. They wanted to knock God off the throne. They said, look at us. We are Israel. We're God's chosen people. We're in the promised land. Look at our name. We're blessed by God because who we are. Hey, you're never blessed by God for who you are. You're blessed by God for who He is. So they had sinned, so God sends Babylon to wipe them out, to conquer them, takes them hostage back to Babylon, and then God says, guess what, though? Y'all have done wrong. You've been punished. Matter of fact, I punished you with my hand. I done this. But now, take comfort. Because guess what? I'm going to bring my people back to myself. And that's where Isaiah says this. Make straight the way of the Lord. Make a way for God's people to come back home. He says, level the mountains. You need to push the mountains down into the valleys. Fix the potholes. Get everything smooth. Don't let anything be in the way for God's people to come back to Him. And this is what John was preaching. You need to turn from your sin and turn to God. That's called repentance. John says, hey, I'm not Christ, I'm not Elijah, I'm not a prophet. I'm just one that's making straight the way to the Lord. Jesus is coming. Y'all get ready. What do we got to do to get ready? Repent. What does that mean? Confess that what God says about you is right. It's that simple. We all know when we're not doing what God wants us to. Confession is just saying, God, you're right, I'm wrong. I'm going the wrong way. I need to turn around. Did you know you can't go back and fight? God is sinless and holy. God is never around sin. So if you want to be with God, you got to turn away from your sin and turn around and walk with God. Even saved people need to check and see if they're living God's way. And if it's something in your life that God's not pleasing with, it's no way you can get close to Him. You've got to confess that. You got to ask the Lord to forgive you and to help put that away so that you can be in God's presence. And this is what John the Baptist is saying. I am the one saying, make straight the way of the Lord. Verse 25, they asked him and said to him, why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? And John answered and said to them, I baptize in water. Now, it's a whole sermon here that a lot of people preach about the different modes of baptism, but this is not the place to try to explain why you are immersed or sprinkled. What John is talking about here, he says, I baptize in water, but the one among you who stands, whom you do not know, he is the one that comes after me, whose thong of his sandal I am unworthy to untie. John is saying that he is the master, I'm the servant, and my place in grand schemes of things is so small that I'm not even worthy to untie Jesus' shoes. He says, I baptize with water. I'm getting y'all ready. Now, baptism here, what it does mean, and what it means for us today, the baptism that John was doing in water was a baptism of repentance. He was getting the people ready for the coming of the Lord. We're still in the Old Testament here. What they were doing when they would go out and get baptized, it was easy for me and Jay to sit around and talk about we're going to let some of the bad things we've been doing go and we're going to follow the Lord. That's easy to say. And we might even be doing it in our hearts. But then people that really know us say, yeah, that we've heard that before. What the baptism did for the Jews before the cross, when they went out and got baptized, they're saying, look, I want to give you a symbolic gesture. I want to show you something. I was living wrong, separated from God, dead. I'm getting baptized to show that I'm entering into God's people again. I'm coming back to God. I'm turning from my sin, and I'm turning to God. That's what it's for. Now, as saved believers, as soon as we get saved, Jesus says, be baptized. The reason we get baptized on this side of the cross is because when we accept Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit regenerates us, gives us a new heart, new mind, new way of thinking. And that's something that happens in us. We know we're saved. We know we got the assurance of salvation. We can feel God working in us, in our conscience. kind of putting us on a dog leash, so to speak, to keep us from going back the old way. We feel that, but other people can't see it. And in the climate of the culture we live in today, I tell you, and I'll be truthful, people will remember a whole lot more of the things that you used to do wrong than the things you do right. Now, I promise you that. When we get baptized, it is our first opportunity to confess who we are, who Jesus is, and what happened when we met him. We're saying, here's who I was, sinner undone. I met Jesus. He died for my sins. I accepted his forgiveness. I died to my old way, and I was raised to a new life. That's what happened when I met him. That is your testimony. That is the testimony that leads other people to Christ. So John says here that I baptize with water, but the one after me, he's the one that's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, you know who you are, right? So we're saved sinners. Say, saved sinners. All right, because I got to hurry up here. It's 5 till. Now you got to know who is Jesus. Look here what he says in verse 28, then 29. It says, the next day he saw Jesus coming and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he on behalf whom I said. After me comes a man who is a higher rank than I, for he existed before I did. He says, the question you ought to be asking is not who am I, but who is Jesus? He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin, singular, not plural, the sin of the world. He says, Jesus come to die for the sins of the whole world. That is a system that is estranged from God, rebelling against God. One sin, that is rebellion against God. Or do we have many sins? Yes. Does Jesus forgive them if we believe in him? Yes. John's saying here, though, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Let me tell you who Jesus is. Just as Abraham was to sacrifice for Isaac, he is a sacrifice. Just as the lamb was killed at the first Passover in Exodus chapter 12, he says, Jesus is a sacrificial lamb. Well, they're thinking, well, this can't be right. We're waiting for the line of Judah. Revelation chapter 5 explains this better than any other place in the Bible, in my opinion. John the apostle is taken up into heaven. The living room of heaven is open and everybody's worshiping. And then he sees the scroll. And he starts weeping because he sees no one worthy to open it. And he's on his knees weeping before God. And then the 24 elders says, stop weeping. Behold, look, from the root of David, it is the line of the tribe of Judah. Your warrior king, he's worthy to open it. Now get this. Before Jesus can ever be your king, he's got to be your sacrificial lamb. When John opened his eyes and looked up, Revelation chapter 5 says, instead of seeing the lion of the tribe of Judah, he saw one standing as a lamb slain. And all of heaven broke out in chorus, worthy are you, for you were slain to purchase for God a people of God. Jesus is a sacrificial lamb, but he's also your substitute. Jesus being born, John's already told us in the first 18 verses, being born of a virgin, fully God and fully man, Jesus was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, Jesus become your sacrifice. He died for our sins. Romans chapter 4 says, for our trespasses he was handed over. For our justification he was resurrected. He died in our place. Why? To satisfy the justice of God. God is holy. And when we sin, we cannot be in the presence of God. For God to be just, somebody has to be punished for our sin. God himself took on flesh. God, who knew no sin, become sin for us in that he died on the cross for us. Does that make sense? He is not only our sacrifice and our substitute, but he also satisfies the justice of God. How do I know I'm going to spend eternity in heaven? Because my Jesus is the eternal God. He took on flesh. He died as a sacrifice for my sin in my place. He lives for eternity. When God forgave me, he gave me what? Forever. That gives me a promise of eternal life. And this is what John is saying. Who am I? I'm not Jesus. I needed Jesus just like you. Who is Jesus? He is the Lamb who was a sacrifice for your sins, who died in your place, who also was raised for your justification, so you know that you can be forgiven, that you can live forever with God. I'll close here quickly, and then we might have to come back to this next week to explain it a little more. But you need to know and be able to tell who you are, who Jesus is, and what happened when y'all met. Look at verse 31. I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifest or made known, or the veil be pulled back so all of Israel could see Jesus for who he is, he said, I come baptizing in water. I come getting everybody right, getting everybody ready for Christ to come. And then John testifying saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove. And this doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit looked like a dove, but it means the Holy Spirit was fluttering as a dove comes down out of heaven or out of the sky. He saw the Holy Spirit come down, and the Holy Spirit remained upon Jesus. In the Old Testament, when God sent the Holy Spirit upon somebody, the Holy Spirit was upon them for a temporary time of till they could accomplish the task that God had laid out before them. Here, Jesus, the anointed one, the Holy Spirit come and remained on him for what? All eternity. And John says, look, in verse 33, he says, I didn't recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, this is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Verse 34, John says, here's what happened when me and Jesus met. Behold, I recognized that he is the Son of God. That's your testimony. I'm a sinner. Jesus is the Savior. We met, and I realized he's the Son of God. He's the Lamb that is not only a sacrifice and a substitute, but he also satisfies the justice of God, so I know I'm forgiven. Just as the Holy Spirit is with Jesus forever, I know that I can be forgiven forever. That is what we need to be sharing with our loved ones, our friends, and even people at the gas pump that we don't know. Why are you here? God created you. Who are you? It depends on the decision you make about who Jesus is. You're either a sinner or a saved saint. Sinners deny that Jesus is the Son of God. People that accept who Jesus is and accept, as John the Baptist did, with humility, that I'm a sinner undone, it's nothing I can do, I need a Savior. When you say Jesus is my Savior, then you become God's child. And you say, well, why am I here? To bring glory to God by living his way. Jesus says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And then two verses later, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you what I say to the glory of the Father. Because why? The Holy Spirit's purpose is to glorify Jesus. Saved people are left on earth to glorify Jesus. So you say, where'd I come from? God. Who am I? Child of God. Why am I here? Tell other people what God can do the same thing for them. Where am I going? Heaven. Why? Jesus was eternal. He died for my sins. My forgiveness is eternal. Where are you going? Home. What are you doing? Oh, I'm getting the road ready. I got to fill some potholes. And then potholes is where your testimony comes in. Somebody's always, they can see a pothole and can't see the whole mountain in front of them. You ever notice that? You share in Christ with them, and they come up with all these reasons. But you just keep answering those reasons with Scripture. And the reasons are always simple. Jesus died for our sins. He did something we couldn't do. So, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and are listening,